Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the treasure state, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, come on, guys. You can't give Ilhan Omar, you can't give her too hard of a time. She is a woman of deep faith. She is a woman of deep religious convictions. I mean, that's why this radical Islamic Democrat member of Congress from Mini Mogadishu in Minnesota, that's why she covers her hair. That's why she wears that hair covering. She's such a pious, she's such a humble woman of faith, so deeply convicted religiously. That's why she married her brother. You know, she's just got these strongly held religious beliefs. Wait a minute.
Congresswoman Omar, I'm Miles Morrell with the Daily Caller News Foundation. Do you think more of your Democratic colleagues should be traveling to El Salvador to advocate on behalf of Rodrigo Garcia?
I think you should.
Yeah, that's I'm sorry, what, Congresswoman? Who should?
You.
Why me?
We're not taking any questions right now, but here you go.
Tim and Savage sent that one to me and the Joker John Jackson on X yesterday, and it's like, she's a woman of deep faith, how dare you say anything critical of Ilhan Omar. Oh man, yeah, Daily Caller, what a great news outfit. Foxnews.com featured that video on their website as well. Speaking of the MS-13 criminal gangbanger Kilmore Garcia here. Apparently, Democrat Senator Chris Van Hollen is big mad over Kilmore. He's still big mad over Kilmore. He's still not mad about all the illegal aliens killing his actual residents of Maryland, but he's still big mad over Kilmore. Here we go. Greg Gutfeld had this one last night on his program. I just recorded this soundbite about 4 minutes ago.
Chris Van Hollen is fuming that El Salvador prisoner Abrego Garcia is unreachable by his family. True, he usually connects with his wife via right hooks. Yes. And finally, the internet has been debating over whether one silverback gorilla could defeat 100 men. What's not debatable is whether one woman...
Oh, and then we had to cut that one off. I was like, oh, okay, that's probably better for cable TV. Probably not better for the radio here, but that was hilarious. All right, we got a great guest joining us live here in just a second. First, let me tell you about a great deal going on right now. Biggest sale of the year. It's a once-a-year event. YHIC, your home improvement company. They've got an unbeatable deal, 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor with a minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Plus easy financing, 0 down, 0 interest, and 0 payments for 12 months. That's until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. Biggest sale of the year. Don't miss out. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase plus free labor, minimum of 4 windows. Call 406-948-2836 right now even. You can call right now. I mean, it's sun's up. Sun's out, guns out, but get some new windows. Here we go, YHIC, your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how. We got a great guest in studio right after this, live.
It's May 2nd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. For everyone with a sweet tooth, today is National Truffle Day. When was the chocolate truffle invented? Well, that's open to some debate. Some say it's 1895, while others believe it was invented by mistake in 1920 by the famed chef Auguste Escoffier. But everyone agreed that France was the birthplace of the truffle. Also on this date, baseball's the streak for the Iron Horse Lou Gehrig came to an end in 1939. The Yankees legend had played every game since taking over first base duties in 1925, and at the age of 36, Gehrig told manager Joe McCarthy he wanted out of the lineup, ending his streak of consecutive games played at 2,130. If it's your birthday today, you share it with professional wrestler and action movie star Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Born in 1972. I'm Tushar Saxena with your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Securing America.
The CIA releasing two new Hollywood-style videos on the agency's social media channels that target top Chinese Communist Party officials and lower-level CCP employees disillusioned with the regime who may be interested in spying for the U.S. CIA Director John Ratcliffe in an exclusive interview telling Fox News, it's an effective way to attract assets in the Trump administration's efforts to distance the U.S. from China.
Nowhere is this more important than with regard to the People's Republic of China and its ruling Chinese Communist Party. These Mandarin-speaking videos are directed to do exactly that.
Ratcliffe calling China our most formidable adversary seeking to displace the U.S. economically, politically, and militarily. We're told a previous CIA test video in Mandarin reached nearly 1 million Chinese citizens. Ratcliffe says watched it from start to finish. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, great guest here in studio. She's got an important meeting in about an hour, so thankfully she was able to join us here. Thankfully, it's relatively bright and early. Nice to have the sun up here at 6:13 in the morning. But Jennifer Owen, Billings City Council member, great to see you again. Man, we were talking property tax relief the last time you were with us. So what happened with property tax relief in the state legislature in the final 24 to 48 hours of the session? And are they going to try to bust a cap on Billings taxpayers? That was a question I raised yesterday.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. Good morning. It's great to be back on the show again. We're still sorting out, I think a lot of people are, what the legislature did in its final days. But it appears that the property tax relief that is being touted as so successful, which I think many have said is nothing but a tax shift, is going to order the city of Billings to violate our locally established charter mill cap. That mill cap was established by the voters. It has been, I think, very successful in reducing the growth of government here in Billings compared to other cities around the state. Our finance director estimates that it saved Billings taxpayers about $120 million over the last 30 years compared to the state's funding formula that most cities use, the formula that has led to extremely high property taxes in Bozeman, Butte, and other cities. So we, the city council, have a real dilemma to face. I am of the opinion that the state has exceeded its authority in this particular provision. There are certainly people who disagree, and there's arguments to be made on all sides. But as the law stands right now, despite the incredible efforts, quite frankly, of our Yellowstone County legislators who fought very hard to protect the right, the citizens' right of self-governance, we are in a position where the state is going to try to force us to raise property taxes here in Billings.
So are they trying to force the city to permanently bust that cap or temporarily bust that cap? Permanently.
Permanently, yes.
Wow.
So the way the law reads is that the city council shall levy in excess of our cap in 25 and then shall levy in future years the same amount going forward. So essentially, Aaron, they've not said that the idea of a mill levy cap is bad. They've just said we and Helena know better what the numbers should be, so we're going to reset it for the voters of Billings, which is really something.
Now, that being said, even though the state is saying, hey, you shall bust your cap, the city council can still stop that and still say, wait a minute, no, we've got other ways to figure out how to address what might be a short-term temporary shortfall in our budget as a result of property tax relief. But that could be easily made up later this year with a new round of property tax assessments.
Well, it is. I think it's not quite that clear. There are certainly arguments to be made that the state has the authority to do that. We are a political subdivision of the state. There are arguments, certainly the Solutions Caucus and the Nine in the Senate, they've all made those arguments that they are the boss and we will do what we're told. I think, though, I don't want to mischaracterize the significance of the budget issue this has put the city of Billings in. The property tax shifts contained in these bills will result in about a $10 million loss of revenue to the city of Billings after property tax reassessments.
Oh, that's after,
correct,
not before. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so the other question I have is like, okay, so Yes, residential property taxpayers. We all, you know, people like me, I don't have an Airbnb. I don't have any other real estate, but I wish I did. We'll work on that. You know, that's on the long-term goal list. That's on the bucket list. But for me, like, it's going to work out great. I'm going to get residential property tax relief. But for those who have ag land, I want ag land too. Those who have ag land, they're probably going to see an increase. Larger businesses are going to see an increase. Yeah, energy. So there you go. So if energy sees an increase, well, who pays for that increase?
That's exactly right. That gets passed on to you.
We do. So, but that being said, okay, does the budget estimate for the city of Billings account for those increases that are going to come from those other categories, or could it come out in the wash?
Well, our estimate of the full implementation of 542 and 231 puts us at that about $10 million loss. But we're still trying to assess. You know, I mean, that's the really crazy thing about the mess they've created. Instead of just doing simple, straightforward property tax relief, they've created these convoluted, impossible to understand formulas. It's going to take the Department of Revenue a full year to try to sort this bill out. So there's going to be this $90 million, everybody's going to get a little property tax rebate because they need so long to implement this convoluted nonsense bill. So we candidly don't know. We are working off of projections. Our finance department's quite good at projections. They're usually pretty accurate. So I think those numbers are reliable for now. But there's a lot we still don't know.
So what that tells me, though, too, is, okay, the city of Billings has some time to, if the Department of Revenue is going to take a year to sort this out, the city of Billings doesn't need to make any drastic decisions in the short term either, necessarily. I mean,
it remains to be seen. We have some of the bills have a interim tax table that are pretty severe. There was another bill, I forget the number, that passed in the last minutes of session that purports to have a brand new tax table that we haven't really contemplated. So the situation's bad, and I don't want to mislead anybody about that. I do think there are reductions we can make in our budget. I don't know if there's $10 million. But that said, I believe very strongly in the right of self-governance. What Billings has done here is unique. There are about 12 charter communities around the state. Two of them have imposed charter cap.
Sunburst.
Sunburst.
Yeah.
And Billings.
Town, yeah.
What we've done is unique, and that's consistent with Billings' leadership role. We're the largest city in the state. It's okay for us, for our voters, to say, listen, we want a different form of government. That is a constant Montana constitutional right of self-governance,
so,
and I'm here to protect that.
Did the Billings area, I think a handful at least, maybe not all of them, but the Billings Republicans voted against the property tax bills for this very reason, is because of the forced bust of the charter they're attempting here.
And in the Senate, so did Emma Kerr Carpenter on the Democratic side.
Okay.
So the Senate was bipartisan, locked arms around the citizens' right of self-governance, and I'm grateful for their leadership.
Very interesting. All right. Can you stick around for
a few
more minutes? Okay, great. We've got an extended break here, so some time for us to go refill our cup of coffee while we listen to the Farm and Ranch Report. But a powerhouse announced a run for mayor of Billings. She's right here. We'll talk about that next.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. An audience with the Pope is a day to remember, but only on Capitol Hill would the day after the Pope visited become even more memorable. The late Pope Francis came to Congress to speak to a joint meeting of Congress on September 24, 2015. The Pope is a head of state ruling the Vatican City and the Holy See. As such, Francis became the first Pope to speak to a joint meeting of Congress in the House chamber. But after his meeting with the Holy Father, then House Speaker John Boehner made a decision which would reverberate for years. Boehner decided to quit the speakership the very next day. His encounter with the Holy Father seemingly transformed the speaker. Former Congressman and former Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows had tried to oust Boehner that summer. Republicans have fought over speakers ever since. Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy lacked the votes to succeed Boehner. The GOP barely convinced former House Speaker Paul Ryan to run. Then McCarthy won in 2023, but only served for a few months. Later that fall, the House sat without a speaker for more than 3 weeks before finally settling on House Speaker Mike Johnson. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay up in the lower to middle 70s. For tonight, skies remain mostly clear, with lows from near 43 in Bozeman to closer to 50 in the Billings area. Now with more sunshine on the way for Saturday, highs range from the mid-70s in Bozeman to the low 80s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombley.
100 bad hombres in 100 days. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I got a chance to catch up with Trump White House Deputy Communications Director Alex Pfeiffer this week on Montana Talks, looking at President Trump's first 100 days in office. We also got a chance to catch up with Senator Steve Daines on that very topic, talking about border security, a trade deal with India, and more. Full audio, find it on the Montana Talks app or go to MontanaTalks.com.
Morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, this week, our network's Lane Nordland has been traveling across Australia for the 2025 World Angus Forum. And this morning, he joins us from New South Wales with leaders from Angus Australia on the significance of the event. Good day, mate.
Hey, good day, Russell. We are boarding a bus, and we are traveling across the eastern portion of Australia once again today. Yesterday, I was able to catch up with Mr. Sinclair Munro, president of Angus Australia, on the significance of having the World Angus Forum here down under.
Ryan, it's wonderful, mate. It's a great event, and people from 26 countries across the globe, and we've got so much in common as cattle producers and in the world, and Angus cattle producers. Great lot of people, some sharing some great ideas, learning from each other, networking. It's just a wonderful experience.
I was also able to sit down with Erica Halliday, the chair of the World Angus Forum.
So the last time we had the World Angus Forum was in 1997, and I was actually a young person, a tour guide on that. And now I'm seeing people that are both children of the people that I was with originally, some grandchildren involved in the youth competition, and it's been wonderful. And we've got such a lovely Angus family, and they're having a great time here today.
Now, again, the forum happens every 4 years in a different location somewhere in the world.
Yes.
What is the theme for this year's forum?
It's Beef for a Better Planet. And so in doing that, we're acknowledging that cows can actually be part of the solution to climate change, and also that there's a whole lot of stuff as farmers and ranchers that we can learn that can make us more profitable and more ecologically sustainable businesses.
Again, a lot of conversations happening as we make our way north from New South Wales up to Brisbane here on the World Angus Forum. Again, I'll send it back to you in the studio.
All right, thanks a lot, Lane. Now, to keep up with his travels this week across Australia, which, by the way, is sponsored by Rotomix, you can check out our Western Ag Network social media channels. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Ready to take your grazing game to the next level? Then join us June 3rd through the 5th in Havre for the 406 Grazing Academy, a hands-on 3-day learning experience packed with field tours, expert demos, and campfire conversations. Thanks to a WSAR grant, registration's now just $150, meals and materials included. Space is limited, though, so register by May 15th at mtdnrc.formstack.com. Book your room at the Havre Inn & Suites with code DNRC, and we'll see you on the range.
Hi, I'm Eleanor Dutton with Montana Farmers Union, here to tell you that our members are directly involved in our educational programming via grassroots participation. Our members identified the need for training and knowledge for rural producers to act in medical emergencies, resulting in the Far Out and Waiting program. Our members are engaged in keeping MFU grounded in agriculture and rural communities with their grassroots participation.
Learn more today by visiting MontanaFarmersUnion.com.
Well, farmers and ranchers are invited to submit their nominations for the 2026 Farm Bureau Farm Dog of the Year contest, which comes with cash prizes and maybe more importantly, bragging rights. This is the eighth year of the contest, supported by Nestle Purina Pet Care, which celebrates farm dogs and the many ways they support our farmers and ranchers. Now, farm dog owners must be Farm Bureau members to enter their dogs in the competition. So not yet a Farm Bureau member, but interested in nominating your farm dog? Well, then visit fb.org/join to learn about becoming a member. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Serving the great state of Montana from the peaks of the Beartooths
to the banks of the Clark Fork River. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, speaking of agriculture, we just had the Farm and Ranch report there from our friends Lane and Russell. Jennifer Owen, Billings City Council member, has the Chamber Ag Banquet here, breakfast here in just a few minutes. Maybe she can bring us back a to-go plate of some of the breakfast. But I posted the big news on our Montana Talks website yesterday. Big news for Montana's largest city. Billings City Council member Jennifer Owen announcing a run for mayor. And the headline I put on there, Powerhouse announces run for mayor of Montana's largest city. Jennifer Owen, this is exciting news because I mean it. When I say you're a powerhouse, you're a powerhouse. And I think our listeners are getting a taste of that here this morning. But, you know, I've known you since you used to work for Senator Conrad Burns way back in the day. And I know everybody who worked for Senator Burns deeply respected you for your intellect and just your commitment and the fire in your belly. As Conrad would say, right? Anybody running for office needs to have that fire in their belly. But even if I didn't know you from before, you know, we always hear, oh, public safety. But then public safety gets put on the back burner. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, if you want public safety funded, you're going to have to pay extra for that. We're going to have to charge you a levy. It just seemed like they never prioritized public safety. You came on to the Billings City Council and you said, hey, I just found $7 million and we're going to give it to public safety, you know, by diving into the budget.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really excited. Billings is home. My family's legacy goes way back here in this community. I love Billings. I love our future potential. And I'm very excited to be announcing a campaign for mayor. But you're right. We really need serious leadership. The city is facing very real challenges. We have huge opportunity, huge new investment coming into the community, but very serious challenges. And if we want to keep attracting private business, if we want to attract the kind of quality of life amenities that residents of Billings want, and quite frankly, residents of surrounding areas who come to Billings for their weekend shopping or their kids' tournaments. We need this to be a thriving city, and that's going to require real leadership. And so I'm excited to step into the fray and see how it goes.
Yeah, you know, Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal joins us every Monday, and it's interesting when you look at Billings, Montana's largest city. The growth in Yellowstone County, I think you could call it explosive, right? But yet the growth in the actual city of Billings limits has been very minimal. And it's because there's been this kind of, you know, it's just too hard to do business in the city, for one thing. And so I think you're the type of person that will change that dynamic, that will you know, support the business community and work with the business community to really revitalize, I think, the city proper.
Absolutely. I'm very committed to that, to engaging the stakeholders and doing what's right so the business can do its job. Government needs to stay in its lane and do what government can do. Police, potholes, pipes, the basics, and let private sector come and do what they do best. Too often, government has tried to lead in this community, and that's been a disaster. We need to stay in our lane and support investors, private sector, developers who want to make this community as great as we want it to be.
All right, 60-second Fox News update, and then we'll be back right on the road here so she can go to the Chamber Ag Breakfast here. By the way, I love the fact that you understand the significance and the importance of agriculture here to Montana's largest city.
Absolutely.
As well. The day after announcing your campaign for mayor, you're at the Ag Breakfast. I'm trying to think. Man, so many questions, but we'll have time to chat with you.
Of course.
But the mayor's race, kind of like school board elections that are going on right now, the mayor's election is this November.
That's right.
So, guys, this isn't like, hey, we're, you know, she's announcing this and then it's taking place next year. This is happening right now. So fire for effect over.
And we're going to get after it. I am very serious about sharing a vision with this community of growth, of prosperity and safety. We are going to make this the safest city in Montana. We are going to make this the best place to raise a family, the best place to start a business. And I'm really excited to get out and talk to people about how we can do that. I know in a city like Billings, there's a lot of questions about what the mayor can do. Is it really a position that can have an impact? And I think with real vision, we absolutely absolutely can. I don't need a lot of power to lead. I just need a vision, and I want the community to come along with me. I'm really excited about what we can accomplish if we work together, if we prioritize what matters. This city has to be safer. We have to support our frontline officers. Police are out there doing the work. They need the policy leadership that backs them day in and day out. We need to do better on investing in our infrastructure so that we can support new housing, new commercial development. And then we need to use the assets that we have rather than trying to tax people out of their homes and build new things that, quite frankly, the private sector can build.
You know, the other thing is I think this is so significant to the rest of the state of Montana. Having a statewide show, I'm always thinking, well, how does this matter to the rest of the state as well? Well, not only is it the largest city, but Paul Green, who's now the head of the EDA, in the Big Sky EDA, he said, if you want to solve the crime problem in Billings, tackle the economic problem in Bighorn County and in our neighboring, reservation communities in particular. And so, and I thought that was such a great point, but like all of these other, my point is that if Billings, you know, we've had this, you know, liberal majority on the city council, and you could say even our city government has been too far to the left. But the politics in city proper are a little different than the politics in the county. If you can get Billings moving in a more conservative, pro-business direction, imagine the impact that's going to have on the state of Montana as a whole.
Absolutely. It will ripple throughout the state, and we want to do that. We want to lead for the good of the entire state. I am about the city of Billings, but I recognize this is the place where many, many industries come to do business, whether you're in oil and gas, whether you're in what's left of our logging industry or our mining industry. This is where you come for professional services, financial services, healthcare, quite frankly. It's where you come to watch your kids have competitions and tournaments. We need to have the best facilities, the safest community. We need to be the place that brings all of Montana's economy along. I really believe Billings is the engine that powers Montana's economic growth, and I want to lead into that strategy.
Yeah, speaking of tournaments, it's people from all across the state are at the Metro this weekend for Volley Fest and volleyball. So if you want to hear a bunch of screaming kids all weekend long, there you go. Jennifer Owen, she's running for mayor. Check out her website and the story at montanatalks.com right now. Finley, our guest producer, is going to take over the next segment. It'll be fun.
Broadcasting live across the Big Sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is Finley Warden, very quickly filling in for Aaron Flint this segment. And that was a great conversation that Aaron just had with Jennifer Owen, running for mayor of Billings, Montana. And I just want to say, as somebody who grew up in Missoula and is currently living in Bozeman, Montana, it is so awesome to hear somebody who works in city government actually talk about tax breaks, actually talk about conservative governance. Because in Missoula, our city council, and in Bozeman too, both city councils are completely and utterly controlled by far leftists. We have a few good people in there, but it's such a breath of fresh air for me to be in Billings, filling in for Aaron's show and getting to see some conservative governance. But speaking of Missoula, if you tuned in yesterday, I gave my May Day update. I talked about the protests that were happening all across the state yesterday and all across the country, really. And one of the biggest ones we saw in the state was Missoula. And big thanks to Samuel Pascal Redfern on Twitter for doing great coverage of the protests in Missoula. He said the main themes of the protests in Missoula yesterday were anti-Elon Musk, anti-Doge, due process for illegal immigrants, anti-Trump, anti-capitalism, and anti-Republican. And he said the crowd was at about 75. It looks like they were walking across the bridge in Missoula and also stopped at the courthouse as well. And for all you can criticize, there's a lot to criticize on the left, of course. They're absolutely crazy. But you can't criticize them for having bad signs. I mean, they look very well designed. They look very nice. They have funny slogans on them. Here are just some of them. One of them says, Constitution, yes. Tyrants, no. Another says, deport Musk, dethrone Trump with an upside-down crown. Another says, impeach, convict, remove in big red text. And another says, spells out Doge, but says, Each letter represents Department of Greed and Evil instead of Department of Governance and Efficiency. And in the corner of that sign, it says Union, proudly Union made sign. And those were the organizers behind most of the protests that were going on yesterday, was the unions. And just as a comment, I believe that President Trump could take some very bold executive action to curb the power of these unions. If you didn't know, public unions were actually created, I believe, by President John F. Kennedy. Public unions were created by executive order. Therefore, does that mean Trump could possibly recede the power of public workers to unionize by executive order? I believe that's something he could possibly do. But speaking of these protests going on, many of the same organizers behind these protests were also behind the pro-Palestine protests that we've seen all across our campuses last year and have continued to see this year as well. And this is a piece I saw yesterday written by Laura Hollis from Town Hall. And I'm just absolutely amazed, and I think it's great. I was so surprised to see this piece. I think it's great. She wrote, "It's not just anti-Semitism. It's Marxist indoctrination." And this is referring to the pro-Palestine protests we've been seeing. And this is a concept I've been screaming about since the beginning of the pro-Palestine protests that we've been seeing. She wrote, "The problem at Harvard in general isn't anti-Semitism per se. It's Marxism and the man-made groupthink that accompanies it. Watching adherence of the prevailing ideologies in academia is like watching schools of fish. If someone with the correct status decides it was time to promote Israel rather than denounce it, many of today's most vocal anti-Semites would switch gears in a heartbeat." And this is something I've been talking about for the whole time that these protests have been going on. It is radical, far left, socialists, communists, and Marxists who've been organizing these protests. And the reason that they hate Israel so much, the reason they so vehemently support Palestine is because they believe Israel colonialized and took the land from the indigenous Palestinians. And while this narrative isn't fully correct and it's largely made up, this is the same reason why the far left also hates the United States, because they believe it was colonized and taken from the indigenous landholders. So that was a great piece, and I'm very happy to see that from Laura Hollis at Town Hall. And that just really all these protests have been showing is really the brain rot that has consumed much of our nation's young people. And as a young person who went to public school in Missoula and who attended U of M and MSU, brain rot, leftist brain rot really is the best way to describe it. So much of my generation is just absolutely consumed in leftist ideology. And it's a good thing, because if you looked at last election results, we saw a massive swing from young people moving to Republicans. And I think this is just a general realization from many young people, especially young men. They are absolutely sick of much of this left-wing ideology stuff, specifically the stuff around gender. They don't want to be seeing men and women sports. They don't want to be seeing they, thems with blue hair walking around their schools. They're just absolutely sick of it. And here's a piece from AF Post on Twitter talking about the Canadian elections. They wrote, "Boomers caused the Liberal Party to win Canada's elections, as voters over 55 were the only age group to support them to support the Liberals over the Conservatives. Voters aged 18 to 34 backed the Conservatives 41 to 32, while those aged 35 to 54 supported Conservatives 46 to 39. So this is a swing that we are seeing not just in the United States, but also in Canada as well. And I just want to say, with the legislature ending recently and us not seeing really any strong action on property tax relief and very weak action on income tax relief, what I've been hearing from young people is they were expecting so much more from Republican-led governance. After voting for Trump, they were enthusiastic and ready to see conservative governance take place in Montana. But what did we have? We had a nine senators that were constantly voting with Democrats, getting rid of any bill, sinking any bill that was even remotely conservative for the most part. And we also had a cohort of so-called Republicans in the House as well that were doing very similar things. And this, frankly, this is not sustainable. If Republicans want to keep on winning, they can't be running on conservative platforms, getting into office, and not implementing the conservative policies that now young conservative voters want to see. I mean, young people out here are struggling. They're struggling to buy their own home. They're struggling to make their way through college and to pay rent. And they voted for Trump. They voted for Republicans as an effort to hopefully ease many of their economic needs. So Republicans, especially in Montana and Montana legislature, they need to step up, because this last election, voting for Trump, was many young people's first time voting Republican, maybe the first time voting at all. So this first election and the results from it will set the tone for whether they'll vote Republicans for the rest of their lives or not. So if Republicans are getting elected now, they're not implementing conservative reform, then these young people, there's a good chance they will not vote Republican for the rest of their life. But at least in Montana, even though these so-called Republicans and even some of our Democrats, they are slightly better in a way than some of the super far left Democrats we've seen across the country. This is a really interesting story. New York Representative Zoran Radani, who's currently polling in second place for the New York mayoral race, has proposed using the city's subways to house homeless. So obviously we have a massive homeless problem in Montana as well, in Bozeman, in Missoula, and especially Billings. And if you know anything about New York, their issue is terrible there. These are the solutions that the left is coming up with, is storing homeless people in our subways. I mean, really, we aren't seeing very many better solutions coming out of Montana either. It would be awesome if the legislature could take action on that as well. But yeah, it's just crazy stuff. So another thing is just kind of following up on the protests we were seeing yesterday. There's one of the most common things that many conservatives were saying, and it's partly true because many of the protests were not as large as expected, is that people were not showing up to these protests because they are working. Often an excuse we'll see from many people on the right is that Republicans, we have jobs, we are working. And Republicans can oftentimes use that as an excuse to not organize. Frankly, I don't think that's a very valid excuse. I mean, obviously you have to work, you have to provide for your family. But we need to mash the left. The left is mashed.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
We have had on agents that for 15, 20 years, their whole job has been monitoring sex trafficking of children into our country. Report by Department of Homeland Security Inspector General's office found that 32,000 unaccompanied minors failed to show up for immigration court hearings from 2019 to 2024. Another 291,000 illegal immigrant children did not receive court notices. The report stated that those who do not appear for court are considered at higher risk for trafficking, exploitation, and forced labor. I mean, we have 350,000 kids in this country. There is evil. If you don't believe in evil, there's evil. You do this to a child, you're evil.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Now, don't get suckered into the same old free phone game by Big Wireless that comes with a lot of fine print, plus, 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 plus. Oh, in other words, you pay more, more, more. At the end of the day, you paid for that, quote, free phone three times over. There is a better way. Pure Talk, my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, my sponsor, my wireless company, has a much better offer. A free phone with a qualifying plan for just $35 a month, and you get a brand new Samsung Galaxy A26. Just make the switch to Pure Talk for $35 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot and roaming, all on America's most dependable 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will help you make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. Again, #250, keyword save now. Get your free Samsung Galaxy with a qualifying plan when you switch to Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It was journalist Mark Halperin who first got the scoop that White House National Security Advisor Mike Waltz was out. And a few weeks ago, he got into trouble over that whole group chat Signalgate business for inadvertently inviting The Atlantic's editor-in-chief. I would argue it wasn't entirely his fault. Several news accounts quoting President Trump as telling advisors he did not want to give the media a scalp. But by waiting until that controversy had died down, it doesn't look that way. There are other factors. For example, Waltz, who gave up his House seat and as a consolation prize will now get the UN ambassadorship, he had not an America First view of the world. He's more of a traditional Republican on foreign policy. And far-right activist Laura Loomer lobbied for his ouster, and President Trump seems to listen to her. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, normally we would have the legislative update from Jeff Lasloff and the Montana Family Foundation right now. But, of course, the legislature adjourned on Wednesday, and he had a great roll-up report for us yesterday. We are going to have another legislative update here later this morning. Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, and frankly, the update that we got from Billings City Council member Jennifer Owen, if you missed it in the first few minutes, that update in itself was a good legislative update, talking about property tax relief and how and what that might do to the city of Billings taxpayers. So that was very interesting insight there. If you missed it, be sure to go back to our podcast. All right, Finley Warden, man, that was a great segment. I'd love to hear your reactions out there. Send us a message on the Montana Talks app, or you can call in as well. But man, Finley, I thought that was really cool hearing your insight. Because what are you, 19 years old, 20 years old?
Yeah, 19.
19, yeah, 19. So you just voted for the first time probably in the major presidential election last year. And what you said tracks with what I heard from the bartenders at the Rockin' R the day after the elections. They said, hey, this group of young people is a different group of young people. They're rejecting all this woke stuff.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why I said Republicans need to step up and actually implement conservative governance, because that's what the young people voted for. And if they don't do that, there's a very good chance that this generation could go all the way and swing back towards the left, because the left currently, with their progressive messaging, is trying to fight back against Trump's messaging to convince young people. And in a way, it's kind of working now.
No, that was a powerful message you delivered. I want to highlight it in a web story on our Montana Talks website for next week eventually as well. But definitely share that podcast with your friends, because, yeah, your message is like, hey, these 9 Republicans in the Senate that undermine the conservative agenda, that vote with the Democrats, like, the message that Finley just communicated here is like, if you guys drop the ball, like you dropped the ball this session, you've got a group of young people that are in your camp right now. If you drop the ball, you're going to be pushing them out of your camp and potentially pushing them out of your camp for the rest of their lives. So now is the time to deliver for these young people and to deliver for the future of this country and the future of this state.
Yeah, I mean, just again, especially in this legislature, I mean, young people, I don't know. I mean, I've been saying we need to vote out the 9, but I don't know if young people will come around again to vote in this next election to really do that. We might be losing our chances, Republicans. So, yeah, we're really on limited time.
Hey, I don't know if you were able to check in on the phone lines. It looks like we might have a caller online, too. Sometimes we'll get a phone line that will light up, but maybe somebody's there. Maybe nobody's there. Did you get a chance to check in with that? Or I can just do it live right now if you want.
Yeah, I didn't screen the call yet.
Okay. Hey, well, let's see. Hey, who do we got there on line 2? Is anybody there?
Yeah, me.
Hey, Nancy, what'd you think of Finley's take there? What'd you think?
I'm very proud of him. He is a true patriot, and he's the new Republican. And, yes, indeed, I agree with everything that he said there. And I think it's wonderful. And I have two talking points this morning. I want to talk about Mitch McConnell's resignation. And it looks like John Thune from South Dakota, senator from South Dakota, is going to replace him. And he looks very solid. And he's not emotional. He's 6'4". Can you imagine that? But he looks like he's going to be the next speaker for the Republican Party.
Well, he is. Thune is the Senate Majority Leader. McConnell, even though he's still a senator, McConnell stepped down from Senate Majority Leader, thankfully. And Thune's doing a 100-time better job, right?
Right. But anyway, I just want to say that one more quick point.
Yeah, we got about 20 seconds to go. Throw it out there.
Harvard gets $53 billion a year from donors. They don't need $22 billion from the federal U.S. taxpayers. I think that money should be given to trade schools instead.
Same thing for these for public PBS, too, right? Yeah, great call.
This is House Call for Health. A new study out this week suggests ultra-processed food might increase the chance of an early death. It involved about 240,000 participants in 8 countries reviewing surveys of people's diets and data on deaths. Researchers looking into the link between a high consumption of ultra-processed foods and the risk of early death for people between the ages of 30 and 69. And they found for every 10% increase in total calories from ultra-processed foods, the risk of dying early rose by almost 3%. Researchers estimating that completely cutting out ultra-processed foods would have prevented about 124,000 premature deaths in the U.S. in 2017. The study published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine Monday. The National Institutes of Health describes ultra-processed foods as things like sodas, candy, industrial bread, and some breakfast cereals, as well as ready-to-heat-and-eat dishes in the supermarket freezer section, among others. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady. Fox News.